The Beautiful Game, a podcast from the Compass Network.
They've gone and done it. England have qualified for the World Cup and have quickly been installed as everyone's favourites. Everyone being, if you're English, they're off to Brazil 2014 next summer. Finished top of their group, didn't lose a game. Absolutely fantastic. Sunderland have appointed Gus Poyet as their manager. He begins work this weekend. Well, he's working already, but he actually... Oh, fuck off. God damn. Oh, I was on a roll then as well. God damn. Sunderland have appointed Gus Poyet as their new manager. He can't do any worse than Paulo Di Canio. His first game is this weekend. And luckily for us Cardiff fans, the club have decided not to replace Malky Mackay with another painter, deciding that they will move forward with Malky Mackay, at least for the foreseeable future. Fantastic. I'm Kyle West. I'm your host for today's podcast. And I'm here with Pete D. Gaskell.
Game of the week.
Pete, Newcastle, yes, against Liverpool. It's the 12:45 kickoff on Saturday. Probably the biggest game of the weekend, I would have
thought. Say so.
Give us your thoughts. Obviously, it's been 2 weeks since any Premiership games, but give us your thoughts on the Newcastle performance at Cardiff. Obviously, it was coming off the awful performance against Everton.
Yeah, you bounced back pretty well, didn't you? I mean, I'm very impressed with Newcastle. Roy Bemmy in particular is terrific. He's settled really well, and I think you're showing a bit of an upturn in form there, Newcastle. Generally, I mean, every so often you have a horrific performance, but there's been more ups and downs lately, so.
Well, I was at the game. I would have wanted Cardiff to take the 3 points, ultimately. But when Lowe Grammy put his second goal in, and it was like, God, this is just going to get worse and worse. But I had that little positive feeling of knowing that Lowe Grammy was in my fantasy football team. So there was a silver lining to it all. I saw Alan Pardew interviews afterwards, and I watched them again today, and he says that he thought the first half Newcastle played the best football he's ever seen for a team he's managed. His teams can't be very good then, Pete, in my opinion, because I don't think Newcastle are actually that good. I think Cardiff just weren't that great in the first half, and I think when Cardiff turned it on in the second half, Newcastle were pretty much sort of backpedaling, backs against the walls. What about Alan Pardew? Do you think he's bought himself more time?
I think so. I mean, Newcastle are now safely in mid-table, aren't they?
Yeah, they're in 11th place right now. They're on 10 points, actually, which is a good sort of tally for them, considering, you know, first place is only on 16 points. They've won 2 games away from home, though, which is the crucial thing. They only did that all last season in 19 attempts, so to get two wins away from home, I think it's from 4. 2 from 4 is a good result for them. What about Liverpool? They're up to second. Crystal Palace 3-1. SAS performed very well, aren't they? I think it's 12 goals in 9 games they've played with each other. Suarez doesn't even look like he's been suspended, does he?
No, he's just come straight back. I mean, I think the Capital One Cup game against United helped him enormously, because that was a game where he could sort of get back into the swing of things. Since he stepped into the Premiership, he's been electric, hasn't he? As have Liverpool going forward, really. 2-3-1 wins back to back when Suarez and Sturridge have been lining up together. So, a bit devastating going forward there.
What do Newcastle have to do to stop Sturridge and Suarez then? Can they stop them?
With your defence, Newcastle's defence? I don't think so, to be honest. I think you need to be lightning fast and very, very aware. And I don't think Yanga Mabiwa and Coachini are they, really?
I think that's a fair statement. I suspect Mike Williamson might start ahead of Yanga and whatever, or even Stephen Taylor. I think Yanga, whatever, yeah. I would probably say he's right now he's fourth choice.
Yeah,
for a central role. I think
Williamson and Taylor pushed ahead of him now.
Yeah, I think he's been that bad. Obviously, Brendan Rodgers is saying that they're not looking to win the league. They just want to sort of be involved in that conversation. Do we see them as a top four?
Top four, I can say top four, definitely, yeah. But for my money, they're probably the most all-round impressive side so far this season in terms of playing consistency of performances and strength both in attack and defence.
What were you thinking for score predictions then, Pete?
I'm going 2-0 Liverpool, I think. One from each of Suarez and Sturridge. I don't think Newcastle can pull past them, but there we go.
Dan's gone for a 2-2 draw, so he's been slightly optimistic still for his team. I've gone 2-1 to Liverpool.
Other top games.
Chelsea against Cardiff City. Is this a banana skin for Chelsea?
Potentially. I mean, the difference has to be set at the bridge. It's not, Cardiff City Stadium, so that has to be taken into account. It's kind of on top of fans to back them up. Chelsea haven't settled, have they? We know they haven't. There's always a lingering feeling though that they will, when they're quick. That's when you have to be concerned. I don't know if it's going to be against Cardiff, but
bloody hope not.
It could be. It could do.
Malky Mackay's not going to be going there to win. He's going to be going there to try and get a point. What about the turmoil at Cardiff City? Have you been following any of it at all?
I have. Yeah. But just clarify this up then. So basically, Mackay's right hand man, who was in charge of transfer dealings, etc., has just been sacked and replaced by a random guy who's on work experience last year.
Vincent Tan appointed his son's friend. I think he's 23 years old. I'm not even going to try and pronounce his name. He's from Kazakhstan. No previous experience in football. Was only brought into the football club initially to help paint the walls of the stadium. But he had been shadowing Ian Moody for like 6 months or 6 weeks or something like that. So what they've done is taken the person that was shadowing him and said, oh, he's stepping up whilst we work out what's going on with this other guy. It just covers you from lawsuits and stuff, you know. So I didn't get up in arms like the media and the fans did about the fact that a painter, you know, a decorator was now in charge of our recruitment of new players. They had a board meeting on Monday. Obviously, there's all sorts of suggestions that Marky Mackay was going to be quitting. But if anything, the statement they've released yesterday is in complete support of him. They've now actually abolished the head of recruitment role. It's been replaced by a nomination and corporate governance committee, which will be chaired by our chairman, actually. The job of that is to support... It's like a group of directors who are going to support Malky Mackay on all player purchases and sales. So instead of having a head of recruitment now, he's going to deal with agents and such, who then passes the details on to the finance officers. It's going to be directors from the club. They'll sit down in a room with the agents, you know, all the representatives.
It's going to be a group decision, is it?
Yeah, but they have now said all transfer dealings will be conducted subject to the manager's final approval. So Malky Mackay, they're not undermining him at all. He does have the final say, you know. They've made some other changes. So realistically, I think it got blown out of proportion. But a lot of that's down to the club didn't make a statement soon enough. The media had way too long to sort of jump on it, and I think it's a lesson for the club, because in the Championship you can get away with not making immediate statements or vague ones, because there's not really a lot of media attention on the
Premiership.
Yeah, Premiership. You need to, if something's getting said in the papers at 8 in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, you need to have a statement out by midday, you know. I think they'll be ready to answer their critics at Chelsea. So what would you say for a score?
I would say Chelsea scrap it out 1-0, I think.
I've actually gone 1-0 the opposite way. Because
you have to.
Even when I look at these fixtures and think, they're not going to win it. Right, just put 1-0.
What's the tiniest win I could call?
Dan's gone 2-0 to Chelsea on that game. So, Man United against Southampton. Almost 2 weeks ago now, since they played Sunderland. But what did you get from that Sunderland game, Pete? Were they actually any good? Because they were losing that game for a long time.
One player was good, and it's no surprise about it, Adnan Januzaj, but the problems still remained. I think it helped that we were playing Sunderland at the time. What was horrific was that Lee Cattermole was bullying Michael Carrick in central midfield. I can't remember that one, but their game, probably Tom Cleverley. They're getting bullied around by Lee Cattermole. Vidic was really poor.
Yeah.
Luckily, De Gea was on top form as well in goal, so give credit to him too. I think overall, United did enough to suggest that we can get back onto form, but it was helped by the fact of playing Sunderland, the easiest possible opposition it could play.
And the irony for me is that after West Brom caused Man United so much hassle the week before, West Brom probably have done Moyes a huge favour
by getting a point off Arsenal.
Yeah, because Arsenal now only 6 points ahead of United, whereas I think if Arsenal had been 8 points ahead of United,
Chase,
I think you'd be looking at it and thinking there's no, even at this point in the season, you'd be thinking there's no chance they're gonna catch up there. Southampton played quite a high pressing game, which they did well against Man United. I can't remember the score actually when they played each other last with Pochettino in charge.
United won 2-1, but it was the 30th of January. Was Pochettino in charge then?
United's gone, wasn't he, just before Christmas?
Yeah. Southampton have been playing really well this season so far. I think
the defence has been terrific.
Arsenal Bobok Shingo is a fantastically solid goalkeeper.
They conceded two goals.
Exactly. they're fourth from the table. I doubt it or not, we will stay there, but, you know, definitely looking up, not down, aren't they?
Oh, you think United are going to have a tough time? United have only actually scored 3 goals at home. Are they going to be able to break through Southampton's defence?
It's going to be interesting to see how Southampton set up. Southampton set up with the mindset of, you know, we're going to hang on and try and get a draw.
I don't think he will. I think he'll go there for a win, you know.
If Southampton push up and try and go for a win, United might be able to steal in behind.
What's your predictions for the game then, Pete?
2-0 United. I'm going to be optimistic.
I've been optimistic for Southampton. I'm going for a 1-0 away win. Daniel Taylor has gone for a 1-1 draw.
Goal of the week.
The only one I can recall of any sort of, you know, accuracy is Sean Slattery's winner.
Yeah.
It's Roy. That's one that sticks out for me. It's one of those where it's just, yeah, just pinged off his foot perfectly, hasn't it? So
I went for Darren Bent's goal for Fulham against Stoke. The way he sort of took the defender and the goalkeeper to his right and then just dinked it back in his left and put it in the net. A real striker's goal. I just think, and for me as well, it was goal of the week just because of the pressure that was on Fulham. You know, Ben.
Just giving Yo a bit of a life on.
That's it. You know, he's probably saved his manager's job.
Team of the week.
Goalie De Gea after his performance against Sunderland. That was a definite. Defence. Right back. I've gone with Zabaleta because I can't think of anyone else. Left back. I've gone with Santon actually.
Oh, interesting.
I thought he played okay. I mean, that might be because he's played poorly before. But I thought he combined well with Remy. Centre halves. I've gone for Winston Reid. Because he scored for me in my fantasy team. Curtis Davis of Hull as well. He was a rock. Midfield, I've put... right wing, I've put David Silva. Because Silva has sort of brought creativity to him again. Centre mid, I've gone Yaya. Because it's Yaya on top left, quite now. Jack Wilshere as well. Because he actually outplayed Ramsey for once.
The irony being, at half time in that game, all the pundits were saying that Wenger should substitute him.
Yeah,
and I mean, he killed it.
Left wing, I've gone Jean Assange. And up front, I've gone Suarez and Sturridge because he can't separate a pair of them. Any changes you'd make?
I'd probably put Loic Remy in there.
Ah, instead of?
I don't know.
Score Prediction League Roundup.
The Score Prediction League currently has Dan in first place on 52 points. He's moved up. I don't know how many points he got off the top of my head, but I know he got 3 correct scores out of 10 in the last round. I've dropped to second on 46 points. Pete, I think you kept the same distance to me, 7 points. You're in third place.
I'm treading water.
But, you know, if we learn anything from Dan in the
no
last round...
No, it's too great.
Yeah, you can jump. But I'm going to give you an opportunity, Pete, to get a bonus 3 points. If you can correctly predict the time of the first goal in this round of games.
Well, that means Newcastle-Liverpool game then, doesn't it?
Well, no, not as in actual...
I was going to say 12:53.
Within the 90 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
Of every game.
What's it going to be the quickest goal?
What's going to be the quickest goal?
And for which team?
No, I'll just the quickest goal.
Just pick a random time.
Yeah.
7 minutes.
There you go. That might be an extra 3 points for you.
Probably not.
Speed predictions.
Arsenal Norwich.
3-0 Arsenal.
Everton Hull.
2-0 Everton.
Stoke West Brom.
1-1.
Swansea Sunderland.
2-0 Swansea.
West Ham against Man City.
1-1 draw.
Villa against Tottenham.
1-0 Tottenham.
And Palace against Fulham.
1-0 Fulham.
Can you sort of explain the prediction of a draw between West Ham and Man City?
Because City struggle away from home. They've struggled away from home all season. And if West Ham play rabbitly against Tottenham, they might have a chance.
I felt sorry for AVB, actually, because West Ham hadn't scored away from home until that game.
I think just shredded
and Tottenham. They knocked in 3 when they haven't even got like a fit striker at the club right now. But Stoke, you predicted a goal for. That's a shocking revelation as well. You predicted a score.
Well, it's at home, so, you know, we might get a couple more corners.
For his predictions, Dan has gone 3-1 to Arsenal, 2-1 Everton against Hull, gone for a West Brom win against Stoke, 1-0. He predicted Swansea will win 2-0 against Sunderland. He thinks Man City will put 3 past West Ham. Aston Villa 1, Tottenham 2. And he's predicting a ball draw, 0-0 between Palace and Fulham. I've gone 3-0 to Arsenal against Norwich, 2-0 for Everton against Hull. I predict that West Brom will beat Stoke 1-0. Swansea will have a tough 2-1 win against Sunderland. West Ham will lose 2-1 to Man City. I think Tottenham will grab a 1-0 away win at Villa. And Palace, I'm actually going to predict they're going to win 1-0 against Martin Yours Fulham. Which I think would actually potentially take them out of the bottom three as well. I'm not sure.
No, it won't.
Would it not?
No. But we're only half 3 points.
That's it. They're never going to get out of there anyway. So wishful thinking.
Fantasy football.
Carl Bungay currently is in top spot still. I suspect we'll probably be saying this for the entire season at this rate.
I don't know. I'm closing on him.
JT Vaughan is actually not that far behind him. He's only 17 points behind. Carl being on 398. Pete, you're in third. 375 points. Yes. 52 points, which was
third best score of a week.
Yeah. Do you know how many points I got?
Wrong.
30.
Oh dear.
A really bad week. I can't remember where. I think
despite them becoming good for you.
Yeah, well, I think Tottenham destroyed me because I had three of their players in my team, and then they lost 3-0. But I now traded out Soldado. I stuck with him for 5 weeks and he hasn't been scoring, so I brought Lukaku into my team.
Oh, damn you.
He's my captain. And I'm sitting on a nice extra, I think almost 2 million in the bank for potentially for another striker. I think I'll save it for January, but no real movement until get out of the top 6. Steve Turner's lolling at Bitters FC have moved up to 7th,
closing in on the top 6 there.
Yeah, one point behind Harry Boast. The Buttercups, the manager who happens to be the woman who makes my dinner for me every night, has moved up to 9th. She was quite happy to show me the league table when she realised that she'd climbed above me. Brent Morgan drops down to 10th. I've dropped down to 11th. Sam Roberts, who we've mentioned a few times, now works for Cardiff City. He's up to 12th.
Had a best score of the week as well.
Yeah, 55 points. And Steve Goodman, I'm not sure how this has happened, really. <'cause>...
He was at the top.
He was at the top. This is why you should. Don't get too presumptuous, Carl. Steve's now down to 15th. You got 12 points.
Which is lower than Black Stars.
I haven't looked at his team for that week, but yeah, he's lower than Black Stars All Stars. Goons United, I don't count Black Stars All Stars, so Goons United are one from bottom. And Stuart Davis is currently in bottom place on 256 points. There's a bit of a gap starting to develop now. You guys are just becoming uncatchable for me now. I've had two really bad weeks on a trot.
Cling on till January and then.
Wildcard, baby.
Yeah.
Manager watch.
Who do you think needs to be careful this week?
We've already said Malky Mackay, obviously.
Yeah.
But matters outside his influence. I don't think it's the Cardiff part. I think it's the whims of a chairman or whatever.
Political... Yeah.
They've already said Martin Yao is under pressure. I think if it released to Palace, then he'll be under severe pressure again, won't he? If not gone. And I also say Chris Hughton is in trouble as well at Norwich. We've got a really rough run of fixtures, which might look bad in the future. I know we've got Arsenal this week, we've got Cardiff next week, and we've got City away. So away at Arsenal and away at City, with Cardiff in between, is bad news for Norwich.
Even that Cardiff game, I wouldn't put Norwich's favourites in.
No, I wouldn't. You know, I wouldn't either.
Do you predict a management change before our next podcast?
No, not in the next week. I think there'll be managers edging closer to the drop zone, but I don't think anyone gets sacked.
Thank you very much, Pete. That was this week's beautiful game. Hopefully next week Dan Taylor will be back with us.
Back with us. He's not to hide people.
The beautiful game. A podcast from the Compass Network.